Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
It's April 3rd, 1885, and another remarkable event is about to be uncovered by Ariel, Rebecca, and Ollie, the Retrospectors.
When Gottlieb Daimler received the patent for his new high-speed petrol engine today in history in 1885, he was dreaming of a four-wheeled covered metal chassis that could one day replace the carriage. But in the meantime, he needed a simple tester vehicle to put his new engine into action. So he set about inadvertently inventing the motorbike.
Yeah, so Daimler had founded an experimental workshop in the garden shed behind his house in the Cannstatt district of Stuttgart in 1882. And together with his employee, Wilhelm Maybach, they developed a compact, high-speed, single-cylinder engine, which they patented today, and called the grandfather clock engine. Now, I'm going to tell you some things about it, but I can't promise I understand any of them.
Daimler was shit at podcasting. It's okay.
Yeah,
everyone has strengths in different things.
Sure. Okay, so it had a float-meated carburetor. It used mushroom intake valves, which were opened by the suction of the piston's intake stroke. And instead of an electrical ignition system, it used hot tube ignition. Of course it did. A platinum tube running into the combustion chamber heated by an external open flame. Right. I mean, all of those are English words, but I don't know what they mean at all. Anyway, they then made a motorbike because Daimler and Maybach's next step was to install the engine into a test bed to prove the viability of their engine as a vehicle.
Well, yeah, I mean, you called the engine a grandfather clock. That wasn't what they called it. That's kind of what it was nicknamed by everyone else because it was vertical rather than horizontal. So it did look a little bit like old grandfather clock. But the whole look of this thing, this motorbike, this Victorian era motorbike, is something of a novelty. And you can see why, therefore, it was never put into production. It was never a serious mass market device, even though they patented it. And it's not a motorbike as you imagine when you think of bikes, because people had still not got their head around the modern bicycle yet at this point.
Right.
So this is a very strange looking contraption.
The engine they finally developed weighed 60 kilos, which meant it was just about mountable to this wooden bicycle frame they'd built for it, but it still needed like big stabilizers in the middle. They actually called it the petroleum riding car. They weren't really thinking of it as being a bike. And there is a bit of debate in the motorbiking community because, worth noting, there had actually been two prototypes for brilliantly named steam velocipedes developed in the 1860s, which some claim as the first real motorbikes. But as the name suggests, they were powered by steam. They were not powered by petrol engines. So most people give it to Daimler's petroleum riding car. The first ever motorbiker then was Daimler's 17-year-old son, Paul, who on the 18th of November 1885 managed to ride this contraption for several miles, only stopping when the seat caught fire. The idea that Daimler had was that you needed this explosive instant power, and that was what the hot tube did. The problem was that the hot tube, which literally was a red hot tube, was housed directly beneath the seat, as Paul found out on his inaugural ride.
This was dangerous stuff. Which is probably why you end up with Daimler Jr. giving it a go rather than Dad. Because you had to be a bit of a daredevil to even try to get on board this stuff.
I mean, the seat must have been nice and toasty on a November morning until it caught on fire.
Until the wooden bike caught on fire, yeah. I mean, I think it shows that history is written by the victor, this, doesn't it? Because Daimler went on to be such an important name in automobile engineering, and because gasoline turned out to be the way to power engines in the 20th century, you know, we look on this day as the one. But actually, you know, as you said, Rebecca, Sylvester Roper was his name. Let's give him credit. Sylvester Roper was the chap who, as early as 1867, built a primitive motorcycle in the United States, but it had a coal-fired steam engine, but it had a vertical engine, just the same as Daimler's one, and really pioneeringly, a throttle on the handlebar, which is, of course, closer to what ended up being a motorbike than what Daimler did. Roper actually died during an accident while showing off his bike near Harvard in 1896.
What? No way!
Well, he had a heart attack, apparently, rather than the accident itself killing him, but it was a heart
attack.
Whoa,
it's going at 12 miles an hour.
And meanwhile, in France, Ernest Michaud, being French, obviously, powered one by alcohol. So, you know, there were alternatives.
Well played.
It is cheaper than gasoline. This.
And more delicious. Yeah, so around this time, other motorbike-like inventions were being pioneered. So in 1884, for example, Edward Butler in England designed the Butler petrol cycle, which was regarded as the first commercial self-propelled bicycle by some people, although it had three wheels. So even in that category, it seems to be lacking. But it was only built by Merriweather Fire Engine Company in 1888. It also had no braking system, so all of these things were so incredibly dangerous. Instead, the vehicle was stopped by raising or lowering the rear wheel using a foot-operated lever. Again, this would be another thing that you'd put your son on rather than doing, taking for a ride yourself.
That was the slogan of the early motorbike. Machines to put your son on. Guys, it's not that I'm not interested in the mechanics of early motorbikes, but can I talk about my favourite part of the whole story? This is the meet-cute between Daimler and Maybach. So the motorbike was the first invention of their company, which they would go on to be in business together for life. They had an incredible origin story, which is that when he was a child, Wilhelm Maybach's parents died, which left him and his four siblings destitute. Their relatives were also unable to support them, so they placed an ad in a newspaper appealing for help. Off the back of this, Wilhelm was offered a place in an orphanage in Reutlingen, founded by a pastor called Gustav Werner, who was the first to spot his talent for drawing and had him trained in maths and engineering and draftsmanship at the Institute Industrial School. The Institute also owned a tool factory, which in 1865 was placed under the control of a brilliant young engineer called Gottlieb Daimler. Daimler, then 31 years old, was assigned the then 19-year-old Maybach, who had grown up in the orphanage, as his assistant. They became very close friends, and 4 years later, when Daimler was offered a position managing a locomotive factory in Karlsruhe, he brought Maybach along with him as his technical draftsman. And the two of them just moved together through these various places. Every time Daimler would be offered a job, he'd say, I have to bring my draftsman along with me. And that's how they ended up both working at Deutz AG, which is a combustion engine manufacturer founded by Nicholas Otto, the inventor of the four-stroke engine, where Daimler was the technical director and Maybach was the head of engine design. And the reason that they ended up leaving to form their own business was that Otto was only interested in massive stationary engines for powering machinery. He absolutely had no interest in designing or building automobiles. So Daimler, very frustrated by this, resigned in 1882, of course, taking Maybach with him.
It's so weird, that thing, isn't it, about engines being stationary? But of course, there are a whole range of utilities you can use that for before you invent electricity. But even so, because we're such a gasoline engine moving powered world, you know, when I see them now, because my kids are really into steam stuff. So when we go to like a steam fair in the summer, and I see there are still nerds that make these things that are steam engines that don't do anything. They show them off in a field just being stationary. It's the end. You've come to see the engine. And I'm like, that just blew my mind. I was like, what's the point of an engine that doesn't drive a car? But there were all kinds of things people wanted to use them for.
Yeah. I mean, really, that was what Daimler was so fixated on. Like, his whole career from the point at which he left to develop his own company, taking Maybach with him, was all about trying to get vehicles motorized. And so, you know, after producing this sort of proto-bicycle thing in 1886, he installed an engine on a stagecoach. And then in 1889, he developed a four-stroke engine with V-slanted cylinders and valves. And during the same year, they also manufactured the first automobile with four-speed transmission systems. So, you know, all this time, they're really trying to get things rolling. But simultaneously, he also started to put his engines into boats.
And if your engine's going to catch fire, best on a boat, isn't it?
It's true. The issue with the Daimler Motor Company was that there was no demand for what were seen as these novelty contraptions at this point. As you mentioned, you know, people were very focused on the idea that these giant petrol machines could be used to operate heavy machinery, maybe farm machinery moving very slowly at a push. The idea of it being a speedy personal get around was just really not on the radar at all, which meant that Daimler was forced to turn the business into a public company in order to attract investment. This led to conflict, however, because, again, the stockholders wanted to concentrate on stationary engines. Daimler and Maybach actually left their own firm for several years until they were persuaded to return in 1896.
So they trundled down the road at 6 kilometres an hour.
And it wasn't until just after Daimler's death in 1900 that the automobile business really took off, helped in large part by Maybach's ambitious new design that he called the Mercedes. Rather than looking like a weird steampunk carriage, which was what all the initial designs for cars had looked like, the Mercedes looks the way you imagine, you know, an old-time car. I mean, it doesn't look modern, but it certainly looks like a car. It's widely considered the first modern car, not just an engine mounted inside a weird metal stagecoach.
Hmm. And crucially, you're not sitting above the engine with just like some leather padding between gonads and machinery.
Tomorrow.
One of the restaurant owners says, "The only headaches I get are from running this place and paying taxes."
Ditch the ads and get a Sunday episode when you join Club Retrospectors. Patreon.com/retrospectors.